This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by MediShare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
So glad you are listening. My name is Brandt. Producer Sherry is here, too. Just in case you're new to the show, I am a nerd. I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. More of a history nerd. There's different kinds.
Just different kinds of nerds.
Yeah, I like history, geography, general knowledge, grammar.
I'll tell you what, I didn't even know there were different kinds of nerds until I joined the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then you enjoy starting nerd fights.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
I've seen you start a nerd fight with Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
Because you're a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Yeah.
I've seen you start a nerd fight with coin collectors. Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Well, they make me mad.
I'm a stamp collector. But the point is... That's me. Sherry's not a nerd. She's really cool. It takes a little while to pick up on the vibe. Like, what are they doing here? Mm-hmm.
what is happening?
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. And mm-hmm. we talk about everything. We love talking about spiritual stuff and goofy things. And anyway, you're welcome here, so thanks for being here. Man, this is not cool at all. They did this study about your dog. And it turns out your dog doesn't like it when you cuddle with him or her.
Oh, that's new information.
Yes. They say just based on body language, mm-hmm. there's telltale signs that they're stressed out. They don't enjoy it. And this guy went through like thousands of photos of people holding their dogs.
And then look, and he's analyzing the dog.
Universally, yeah.
And the dog looks like, get off me.
The dog is showing all the telltale signs of, I don't like this. So they're like, yeah, you better not cuddle your dog. I'm like, I am cuddling my dog. Well, what if your dog doesn't like it? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, because your dog's put you through a lot of
This is where the reward pay. And I tell the dogs, like, it's time for you to be rewarded. You better. It is time.
We are going to cuddle.
Oh, yeah, we're going to cuddle. If you don't like it, well, you know, that's the way it works. Two-way street.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you may be new to our program. My name is Brandt, by the way. Producer Sherry's here. It takes you a little bit to get used to it, but we keep telling you, stick with it. Mm-hmm. And you can always... By the way, if you have your own story about sticking with it, let us know. 855
That's it.
90 Brandt. 855-90 Brandt. We got this message, and it underscores what we've been saying.
My name is Mia, and I'm calling to let people know, please stick with the program. Even if you are so confused as I was when you first listened to it, it's so worth it. I first tried listening to it to get more information about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, and I found these crazy people talking about everything under the sun. But after I decided to listen to it a little more, I fell completely in love. Please stick to it. It's so worth it.
Thank you. We played you that. Nice. Obviously, we get a lot of other calls. And we're not going to play those for you.
Yeah, have a different testimony.
Totally different testimony. But we've picked that one especially for you. We thought that you would like it. You may get excited about charts and graphs. I do. I love statistics. I love checklists and things. Here's the problem. When it comes to my relationship with God, it's a messed up thing if I'm a checklist guy. Here's what I mean. If I'm like, well, God told me that I should give money to the poor, so I'm going to give money to the poor, and then he has to love me because of it. And I check the box. Like, see this good thing I did? Look at that. Problem is, that can actually be sinful. Even giving money to the poor. If it's all about me, if it's about me checking off the thing, if it's about me thinking I'm earning credit with God, then it's still, for me, God's thing is he's always about my heart. He's after my attitude, the condition of my heart, the humility. All that stuff can be a result of it. But man, if I'm just doing checklist stuff, all the stuff that I thought was good is actually becomes wrong.
Hey, Sherry and Brandt, this is David. I wanted to thank you for reminding me to be gracious to people. I was at a popular drive-in restaurant that advertises a two-minute breakfast, or your next one is free. After my order was taken, I started my stopwatch, and I was very excited when I got to the five-minute mark, and when my order was delivered, I was ready to claim my prize, the free breakfast. My food was delivered by a sweet older lady who smiled as she handed me my breakfast, and I realized I just didn't want to be a jerk.
Sports. Here's sports music. NFL draft is tonight. It starts. We did our own little draft where we drafted friends.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry here took Viola Davis, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my selections was Jason Gray, musician,
right,
who's on the station. I'd like to call him and inform him of this selection that I made for him.
Hello.
Hello, Jason.
This is Brent?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, man.
Greetings to
you. I was just about to take a swig of mouthwash. Can I do that so I can walk out the door as I talk with you?
Yes.
Is that weird?
No, just keep the phone close. We want to hear it.
This is good.
A couple quick things to ask you about. Or one thing is, we're doing an NFL-type draft.
Yeah.
And I was all like, we should make a friend draft, like so that you have to draft friends. Like, who would you like to be friends with? And I didn't take you in the first round.
No, you took him in like the fifth or sixth round, didn't you? Sorry,
okay.
Jason.
Well, but you did get drafted. I took you. It was like Weird Al and then Jason Gray and then Bono.
Oh.
Oh, we already are friends. So it's like,
yeah, but
you wasted a pick.
Like, that's true.
The team that drafts a guy. Wait, we already have him, huh?
He's been playing with us for 3 years.
Oh, man, we wasted the. Why did we take Peyton Manning? This is fun to do with friends. Like if you're doing a draft, people you don't necessarily hang out with, but you want to be friends with.
Just do a draft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take turns drafting and stuff. So Jason's on the phone. I was just talking to him about
that. Yes.
But I just want to confirm that you would accept the draft position.
Absolutely.
Okay. See, we're friends.
Good.
Look at friends happening.
Nice.
Friendships.
Okay. Now we can get Mono on the line.
And Weird Al.
Yeah, we have like the makings of one of those super rock bands.
What would the name be?
Jason Gray and the other guy.
You know, I was thinking something similar but different. Not sure if you're a coupon clipper. I'm not. I respect coupon clippers a lot.
It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of focus, and I know people who do it.
And then you have to take the abuse in the grocery line.
Yes.
The people behind you.
That's, or the worker doesn't always care for that either.
Well, I want you to know, coupon clipper person, that I'm behind you and I'm rooting you on because I think it's awesome. Right? What's interesting, though, is here's a great way to save a bunch of money in one fell swoop. MediShare is our sponsor, and I bring this up just because you could wind up saving hundreds of dollars with one decision, and it's about how you meet your healthcare bill needs. You can share them with other people. If you're somebody who is interested in becoming a member of MediShare, just go to biblicalhealthcare.com. It's something for people who are believers and want to connect and pray for each other, even beyond helping share each other's healthcare stuff. The thing is, if you're like, well, but under the current law, I can't do this, you can. There's an exemption for just this kind of plan.
There is. And I'm doing it. And it is really, I mean, to be able to get names of people who are going through things and pray for them. And I do. You open up your share notice and you see names and you say, oh, wow, I'm praying for her. Pray for her. And also you can share extra sometimes. They'll say this person needs a little extra. It really is a community. It's a different model, but it's a blessing.
If you're interested, again, it's biblicalhealthcare.com. There's a number, too. We can give that. I don't have it in front of
me. It's 855-772-5699.
This is a little heavy to talk about, but it's personal to me, so I hope you don't mind. It's been 2 years, almost to the day, since a friend of mine was killed. His name was Jerry. He was a pediatrician, loved kids, big smile, and he was killed by someone for religious reasons. Jerry's a Christian. And he was killed in Afghanistan because people knew he was a Christian. And what a shock it was to everyone in the Cure International family, because we have this hospital in Kabul, where I've been a few times and spent time with Jerry. And as heartbreaking as it was, what an illustration, because a lot of people, maybe even in your life, they look from outside at Christianity and other religions. Oh, they're basically all saying the same thing. You know, they're all, and all these religions, they're violent, they're destructive. We'd be better off without religion. Like, you know, I can understand if I wasn't informed seeing it that way. But actually, Jerry was a healer. And the reason he was a healer was because the guy he worships is a healer. Jesus is a healer. He did not kill people. He did not send them to their deaths. He died for us. And there's something about that. I mean, if you're going to call yourself, you know, a follower of Jesus, if people want to lump you in with everything else, like, well, no. I look at my founder. Look at the perfecter of my faith. I want to be like him. And he doesn't take people's lives apart. He stitches them back together. And that's what Jerry did. And I miss him. And sometimes I look back at his old emails and laugh about stuff. But knowing who he followed and how his Lord died, it makes sense. It's tough to talk about with people because it's so personal and, you know, you're not supposed to talk about religion in public and that sort of thing. But when it comes to who Jesus is and his followers, a lot of people have this perspective like, oh, I know what a Christian looks like. I don't like Christians because, and they picture this guy, usually it's some stereotype like a white Southern male preacher, I would say would be the stereotype. Statistically, it's probably worth knowing that's not who a Christian, I mean, it can be, don't get me wrong, but the typical Christian, the median Christian, if you want to talk demographically, is a woman in Africa, and she's poor. I mean, among all the believers around the world, if you want to pinpoint a geographical center, that's where it is, and it's not a man, it's a woman, and he's not rich, he's poor, and he's not taking people's money. She is giving it in spite of her own poverty. That's what it looks like. And it's probably worth noting that for people who have the wrong perception of what it means to follow Jesus. His name is Jason Gray. He's still on the phone with us. He's an artist we play here on the station. I just wanted to bounce something off you, Jason, we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
I just started taking piano lessons a couple weeks ago. Apparently, and you may know this already because you're a musician, but there's a thing called a bass clef. And what it is it messes up the whole staff, so the thing that you memorize doesn't count anymore.
I know, right?
Is there any reason we have that? Can we just is there any reason? Like, can we not? I was thinking about starting a petition drive and get rid of it. Is the bass clef necessary?
I assume it's there for a reason, but I play acoustic guitar, which means I don't really have to read music, so I haven't bothered with any of that. Mm-hmm. It's just my career, you know.
So it's here is a career musician who's been very successful.
Yes.
And he doesn't even know what it's for.
Okay. that doesn't mean you need to get rid of it. It just means some people don't need it or use it. But other people like it.
Thank you for defending the bass clef.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
I don't understand why you're committed to it, Jason. It sounded to me like you didn't really want it.
Well, I'm not committed to it. I was just moved by her loyalty to the longstanding tradition.
You were not moved. You say you're moved.
I was a little moved.
If you don't quite fit in the larger culture, or like in church culture, you don't quite fit in, you are so welcome here. Everybody is, but we especially welcome what we call misfits, because we are misfits ourselves. This said, like, maybe you're not somebody who looks at yourself as a misfit per se. Like, you know, you do fit in. You got it going on in some ways. I don't know how else to say it. Like, you just don't see yourself as a misfit.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Here's the thing. You will develop a heart, though, for people on the margins, for people who don't fit in, once you internalize, and maybe you already have, and you've noticed this, but the idea that God loves you not because you're offering anything he needs. Like, once you realize that, wait a second, he loves me in spite of myself, and I don't have anything to offer him that he needs. And once that really soaks in, I think you start to get attracted to people on the margins because they're the ones who can't offer anything. They're not cool. They don't make you necessarily feel cool to be around. And they can even be a little annoying. Well, that's the way God deals with us, and he loves us anyway. So even if you kind of do fit in, you can develop a heart for those who don't.
We got this really nice message from a grandma.
Okay. And I listen to you guys every day. I absolutely love your sense of humor, and I love her laugh. But I'm calling because you were talking about writing cursive. A great-grandson of mine just last year graduated high school, and everybody wrote on this poster thing. And I, you know, a message to him. I wrote in cursive, and he got on me for it. He said, Grandma Jackie, why did you write in cursive? I can't read it. And he is in college now.
In college, you can't read.
I can't read it.
Why, Grandma
Jackie?
That's
what I'm telling you. This is our code. For anybody over a certain age, we have a secret code now.
Yeah.
And they can't crack it.
Well, here's the funny thing. I've seen you write stuff in cursive, yeah. And then you can't read it.
I can't read it. There's a so secret, uncrackable code. I think you'll like this. It'll help you relax if you're a little bit stressed out. They have this study that says that humor helps people relax. Taryn is here. I'm going to help her with this. So I have something called the joke spa.
Okay.
And... we'll have you like pretend you're lying down there,
mm-hmm.
And
okay.
We got the music going. It's all spa-y.
You're not doing the hot rocks or anything.
And we're putting
you?
Some hot rocks on your face.
She doesn't want
to relax.
Hot
That's
rocks
what they
her.
Do at the place.
I know, but she doesn't want them.
She has the hot rocks on her face.
Not
and
on your face.
I'm putting some on your foot. And also, but they say humor helps people. So now you're relaxing right now. Are you feeling relaxed, Tara?
Okay.
Taryn?
Oh, I'm completely relaxed, okay. Yes.
With a hot rock on your face?
Good. And now here's...
It's quite soothing, actually.
Here's where it really gets soothing because I use humor, which okay. They have proven is relaxing. So we're in the joke spa, we call it. Hey, did you hear about that train robber from Spain? Spanish train robber? Yeah.
No.
He had locomotives.
Okay, well, I guess it works.
He liked it. Because loco is Spanish.
Loco is Spanish, sure.
And then motives, and then locomotives.
Yes, we know.
They speak Spanish.
See, it takes away the relaxation
no,
if you got to unpack it.
It adds to it. It's all part of that
Too
relaxation.
Much thinking.
Yeah.
It's all a part of your spa package.
Taryn, if you're going to relax, you got to be quiet now, okay? Settle down.
Okay, I'm settled.
As long as you don't hurt anybody else, it doesn't matter what you do in your own private time, in your private sphere. That I hear that all the time. I wish it were true in a way. I wish the things that I did in my private time had no effect on anybody else. Problem is it does. And I think the same thing is for you. I'm quite sure of it because you're human. But I have found that if I give myself over to certain things, attitudes, behaviors, habits, that sort of stuff, I wind up being less patient with people, less joyful, more focused on myself, more prone to anger and frustration, more negative in bad ways. I'm not the person I should have been. Versus if I've had a little bit of rest, I'm not doing that stuff. Maybe I'm reading the Bible a little bit or praying, focusing my mind on what's pure and lovely and true and good. I'm a different person. I've got things to offer people. I'm a blessing. And at the very least, when I'm handing myself over to the bad stuff, I'm not what I could have been for other people. My neighbors miss out on the Brant that could have been a blessing to them. So the idea that, well, it's just private, doesn't bother me. No, we're too integrated for that. We humans are too complex. I wish it was that simple, but that really is simple thinking. It's so weird. And I know this isn't popular to talk about the word sin, but the stuff that we know is wrong. And everybody knows there is such a thing as sin, whether we use that term or not. Everybody knows the world's broken. People are messed up. What's going wrong with the world? We know it's not like, hey, this is perfect. It's going great.
We don't need to improve it.
No problems. Now, something's deeply wrong with us. There's something about the stuff we do that you would call sin, it has something in common, I've noticed, with me, and that is it's always isolating, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
It promises freedom up front. Like, I just want to do what I want to do. And it ends up being, you're enslaved to it.
It's incredibly deceptive because
when
I was doing youth ministry, that was the phrase, and it still is kind of, is I'm just doing me. I'm going to do me. I'm just doing me. And I would always say that's not possible because when you are quote unquote doing you, the consequences of whatever you've done will ripple out to people who are connected to you.
That is exactly.
And whether that's intentional or not, doesn't matter. It still happens.
It still happens. And it winds up enslaving you. Like you think, I'm going to be free to do whatever. And conversely, like when you lose your apparent freedom to the right things, to God, like you'll find a freedom that you never could have had otherwise. It's so weird. It's like, and you don't see it for some of us. You know, how do Brant and Sherry know this? Because we've blown it.
Right. many times. Let's make it obvious.
That's how we know.
Hey, Brant, this is Cole Henley. I was just looking at Facebook today, and it was National High Five Day. I thought the person that I wanted to give a high five to was Brant Hansen, but he's not going to give me a high five because he doesn't do national days.
Correct.
So I guess I'm going to have to wait till tomorrow to get that high five. I just wanted to let you know that. You're letting me down because you don't do high five.
Oh, au
contraire, friend. I'm not letting you down. I would be letting you down if I compromised my principles. If it's in the almanac, I'm not doing it.
Why do you have to have principles about a high five? If someone loves the show, loves you, and wants to put their hand up and get a high five from you on a specific day.
When you have principles, there will always be people who are trying to tear you away from your principles. And, they'll have smooth words. But they will always try to convince you not to stick to your guns. And I'm not falling for it. The other night, my wife and I were coming home. We have to park on the street in our neighborhood. It's a crowded urban area. And there is a spot available. I just want to get inside, you know. And she's like, well, the fire hydrant's not too far away. I'm like, well, it's far enough.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure? Yeah. So we go in. Next morning, $50 ticket.
Because you parked too close to the fire hydrant.
Yeah, an ensuing discussion was
a lively discussion between the two of you
the
ticket.
It was. It needn't have been, but it was kind of rooted in, well, Brant, you know, you want to, because I was kind of sloughing it off, like, well, I didn't see that come. It's $50.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, you know, easy come, easy go. Like, how come I don't apply that to other areas?
Uh-huh.
So when she overspends, I think, on X, but now with this $50 ticket, I'm like, well, you know.
That's a valid point.
It is a very valid point. I find her point entirely valid. The funny, I just saw this, though, that this is the number one reason for marital arguments. It's
finances?
Money.
That's interesting.
And when I saw that stat, I thought, well, that's not really us. Then I realized, like, no, that was just a few hours ago.
$50 on
a
ticket.
And it was my fault.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. The Brant and Sherry podcast is sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about MediShare, call 855-772-5699.